Hello and welcome to the Eye on the U podcast, the Miami Herald's Miami Hurricanes podcast. I'm David Wilson. I'm joined, as always, on the other line. She was a three-star recruit out of high school, but she's a four-star transfer portal prospect now. It's Susan Miller-Degnan, our beat writer here at the Herald.
Thank you. It's actually five stars.
Do they put five-star portal recruits? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I've seen one, but since they've started ranking portal recruits like that. It is transfer season. It's also early enrolling season. Those will be the two main topics we get to this week on the Eye on the U podcast. College football season is officially over. We scored nearly as many points as TCU ourselves in the national title game. That was a major disappointment.
Yes, it was.
I'm sure you're the same way. You get all excited for like a game like that. You're like, set on your couch. You've got your food or whatever.
We got our food ready.
You've got your drinks ready, and then it's over in, I don't know, an hour basically.
Totally excited. Halftime, it was like, I'm cutting kind
of. I didn't even watch most of the second half. I turned it on again at the end because I like to watch when the teams get the trophy and all that kind of stuff. I skipped basically literally the entire third quarter and most of the fourth quarter. Bummer. It's always the fourth biggest FBS versus FBS blowout of the season, which is like, that's crazy.
In the
championship game.
Right. True. Amazing. After halftime, I was like, I'm sorry. I can't. I couldn't watch it, but then I kept checking my phone and
just in case.
Well, I didn't think, I just wanted to see how bad it would get. It got really nasty.
It was a bummer. The Georgia team obviously is one of the best ever, as we've seen. And Stetson Bennett, he gets a lot of crap as just the walk-on who's benefiting from all these five stars around him, but not a lot of people have had a college career like he did. I know he's 25 years old, but
they said that about Ken Dorsey.
Yeah, you know? It's honestly pretty similar. I mean, Dorsey was a relatively high profile recruit.
He was really good, but he was, he never really made it in the pros. I think he was drafted in the seventh round, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, sixth, seventh round, one of those. But it's kind of similar. And also UM got, they got cheated out of that last national championship. So they really won two in a row as far as
right,
I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't. I'm prejudiced. I cover those guys. I saw what happened to them after their UM careers. And those are the best college team ever.
I still think so. See what they all did in the pros. I mean, obviously the Georgia players' stories are still being written, right? If we're like Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and N'Kobe Dean and Kenny McIntosh are all Hall of Famers, and Stetson Bennett has a real pro career, then maybe we'll think differently. But yeah, I mean, I'm prejudiced also because that was like the team I grew up on, those early Miami teams beginning of the. I was in like elementary school, middle school.
Think of those guys.
They were awesome.
I mean, everybody from Dan.
Miami, I loved. I mean, that was the cool team. That was the team you rooted for. Like if you were a.
It was a great team.
It's like the Bulls, Michael Jordan Bulls. You just rooted for them. All right, we got a lot of different smaller topics to get to. As we said, college football season over, but obviously, the off season transfer portal recruiting never stops. It was interesting to see. I saw a couple of coaches I think it was maybe even Kirby Smart and Sonny Dykes talking about like how the calendar is just burning coaches out, where it's like, it really is like an 11 and a half month a year job now for them. It'll be interesting to see if this is people have started calling for the end of the early period. It'll be interesting. I think we might be at an inflection point where some of this stuff is going to start getting wound back. But Miami was still busy this week. Got a couple transfers in the portal. Let's start there. Matt Lee, an offensive lineman from UCF.
Yep.
And Branson Dean, a defensive lineman from Purdue. Both guys were three-star recruits out of high school. Matt Lee, though, had a very good career at UCF. Dean did too at Purdue, all Big Ten honorable mention, a guy who I'm sure will help them in the same way that we talked about, like Antonio Moultrie. And you know, Jacob Lichtenstein. No, like I think rotational defensive tackle.
Yeah.
You know, they there's a big opening right there, right next to Leonard Taylor, figuring out who's going to replace Daryl Jackson. But of course, it's all about the trenches still for Mario. And Matt Lee is a guy who was a, you know, he's going to be, Miami's got a lot of offensive linemen who are going to, who at this point have starting experience, but from, you know, obviously Zion Nelson, Ja'Kai Clark, Jalen Rivers. You got the freshman who got playing time last year, Inez Cooper and Lawrence Seymour. Got Francis Mangoa and Samson Okunlola coming in. And Lee is, you know, another guy who seems like he could start a whole bunch of different spots potentially on this offensive line.
I mean, let's see. Matt Lee is, he is, how I'm looking to see how big he is.
6'3". He's listed at 6'4", 295. So pretty good size, you know, not gargantuan tackle size, but definitely real, you know, solid enough size. A guy who's started a lot of games at UCF, which is obviously a good.
But he's a program at this point. The thing is, he was a center.
Right. So that'll be interesting because Ja'Kai Clark seems to have that job locked up, but usually centers can play guard also.
Yeah, I mean, they can play inside, and we've seen that you just never know with the O-linemen. You never know with the young ones coming in. You don't know till you see them play. You really don't know. College is just a whole different ball game. It is for the guys up front. He needs as many linemen as he can get, and he needs as many centers. These guys get hurt, and we say the same thing all the time. I think Matt Lee graded third overall in the nation per Pro Football Focus. So, I mean, he's a good, really good addition. And Dean, I mean, you need the defensive tackles are so key. So, Mario's doing it where it counts.
Yeah, and I mean, it's obviously like, you know, Mario, as we've said, like he doesn't have loyalty to a guy like Ja'Kai Clark. Obviously, he does in like a sense that Ja'Kai Clark was pretty good for him, but it's not like he recruited him and anointed him as the starting center. I mean, Mario is, he wants guys who want to compete, and obviously by bringing in a potential, you know, top center, like you said, third in the nation, graded out in PFF, which I think PFF grading in college is probably a little overrated, but means he's a good player.
Right.
It's going to either he's going to beat out Ja'Kai for that job or he's going to push Ja'Kai to be even better. And that is obviously the old school attitude that Mario wants to bring.
And they have to, they're both going to play. Okay. Inside, somebody plays inside, somebody rotates. I mean, they need to get stable, you know, and figure out who their linemen are. But you definitely need a hell of a lot more than four, as we've learned.
Yeah, they had a lot of injuries. They had a lot of injuries on the interior last year.
Right. Right.
But it is interesting. I mean, we could be looking at from a year ago, potentially like four new starting offensive linemen. And that's they're losing DJ Scaife, graduated obviously and is out of eligibility. And John Campbell transferred. But I mean, you could have Zion, who obviously didn't start a single game last year, back at left tackle. Right. You could have Lee as your starting center. Javion Cohen seems like a lock to start probably at one of the guard spots. I would think Jalen Rivers is still in line to start somewhere.
He's starting somewhere.
Francis and Samson are going to push for time too, I'm sure, especially Francis getting on campus next week, which we'll talk to in a little bit.
Right.
You know, it's a totally different looking offensive line than when Mario took the job, which is, I say it a lot. The major promises of Mario Cristobal were one, he's going to recruit. He's definitely fulfilled that. And the other one was that he was going to rebuild the offensive line. And we got to see it obviously on the field, but on paper, he's literally rebuilt the offensive line. We'll see how good of a line he has built, though.
We will. And again, when they come in, they're not as strong. I mean, offensive line, they're just, when they're freshmen, they're just not as strong. They're softer. No matter what program they come from, it's not the same. So we'll see. We'll see how it all ends up.
And the other thing, like Ja'Kai, again, like has been a solid center for Miami, but Mario clearly values the really big offensive lineman, and Ja'Kai is, you know, he's a smaller
Agree.
center. Matt Lee at
I was going
6'3",
to say that.
6'4".
Yep.
I mean, you're looking at, let me pull up the roster. I want to get the
I
height and
was
weight
thinking
on all
that
these
too.
guys. It's, you know, Zion's what, 6'6" at left tackle. Jalen Rivers is probably 6'4" at guard. That's pretty good size for a guard. 6'5" he's listed at. Zion also listed at 6'5". Lee, as I said, listed at 6'4". And then Francis, I think also like
6'6"?
Six
What is
six,
he?
I want to say 6'5", 6'6", 6'5" and a half. So split the difference according
Just
to 24/7.
Take every one of them down an inch.
Yeah,
okay?
but still, it's a little bit different than, you know, no disrespect to these guys, but Ja'Kai 6'3".
Yeah,
obviously
Ja'Kai's
Lawrence, Lawrence Seymour listed at 6'2", and that's very generous, I would say. And I mean, even look at the guy that Mario thrust out there right away, the freshman, was Inez Cooper, who's 6'6". So, like, he really values that size clearly on the offensive line.
He should.
I mentioned Francis, set to early enroll next week. That's the other big piece of news down in Coral Gables this week, is the early enrolling freshmen get on campus. We'll get a full list of, you know, there's always some drama with someone trying to get their paperwork in, as we're seeing right now across the state up in Gainesville. Never goes quite as smooth. So we'll get a full list of who is enrolled, I think, early next week. The university,
probably Tuesday.
Yeah, they usually send something out. Classes start Tuesday, Monday's MLK Day.
Probably Tuesday. And it each year it's more guys and more guys. If you don't get there early, you kind of miss out.
Yeah,
I mean,
it puts you behind, definitely.
You miss out on the conditioning program, on that fourth quarter program. And it's very important to get there early. I think the playbook, the everything, getting to know the guys, getting to know how your coaches are in college, what it's like, the whole thing. I mean, classes.
Yeah.
Really, it's very. It's, I don't know how kids don't do it. I know some. I guess
some
like
can't. Yeah.
St. Thomas doesn't allow that. I don't.
Yeah, I don't think American Heritage doesn't either. So there will be a couple notable, like Damari Brown and Mark Fletcher. I don't think we'll be early enrolling.
Right.
Like you said, St. Thomas, a lot of the Catholic schools don't allow, like Frankie Teen allows at LaSalle, will not be early enrolling. But, you know, just looking at the top of the class, I mentioned Francis. I know Reuben Bain will be early enrolling. Malik Bryant will be early enrolling. Jaden Wayne. So a lot of the top ranked kids in this class will be there early, which, you know, obviously it's beneficial to, like you said, to anyone to get on campus early, but especially those guys who, you know, any recruiting class, I think as true freshmen, you're hoping you're going to get like four or five contributors, right? And more often than not, they're going to be the kids ranked toward the top of the class.
Right.
And so that's, I think that's good for Miami, especially that it's a lot of those top ranked guys like Reuben Bain. Miami would love if he can crack the rotation on the D line. He'll be there on Tuesday when classes start, and get a leg up on getting in shape, getting used to that speed. Francis Mongo, another one. I'm sure he'll be in the mix to start at right tackle. And it's going to be a lot easier for him to potentially win that starting job as a guy who gets on campus next week. I mean, it happened right with Nevon Donaldson. Remember when he came in, it was like he won that job in spring and never let it go.
Again, like even if you don't win it,
right?
Okay,
you
could be in there within the next game or whatever.
Right?
It just depends.
Yeah, I mean, you look at most of the guys for Miami from this latest recruiting class. Inez Cooper actually was not an early enrollee, but Wesley DeSaint was obviously kind of the bright spot of the freshman class. Jaleel Skinner was, I think, yeah, Jaleel Skinner was. So a lot of guys who got there early, I think really, but Ja'Kari Brown, a lot of guys who got there early really benefited, as you saw from that extra time on campus.
And as we've seen, David, I think you went to this game, I think when UM opened against Alabama.
Yeah.
You were at that game, right?
Yep, up in Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there were some offensive line problems there, and they right away pulled guys out. And I think Justice at one point got pulled out, or he got pulled. He went. They changed things around right in the middle of the game.
I think
game.
Justice went in that game, actually.
Yeah, they went in, and I can't remember who it was.
I want to say Scaife actually got benched in that game.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Anyway, you see, they do things right away when they see, because it's real life. They, you know, so. Anyway,
yeah. Anything like, for as far as guys going in early, like we said, we won't know the full list until next week.
I know the quarterback
is.
Sense
of who is. Yeah. So, like, who are you excited about? You know, obviously, we talked a lot about Francis, but anyone else that you think is really good to have getting on campus this week that could help?
I mean, I think guys like you said, like Reuben Bain. I don't. Like, a lot of those guys are great athletes, or they're just their sheer might and force and whatever. They're good. But I think like the big guys, or the guys that need some of the have a little extra weight or
reshaping
something,
their body, even if they're not in bad shape, it's getting in better shape.
Yeah, exactly. I think, well, and also getting used to whatever the program is and stuff. I think so. That's really important to me. I think, whatever running backs could get in would be important. Any running backs they get in. And I think the quarterback, always important.
Always good to have a quarterback.
So Emery Williams will be coming, and he's all excited. And
With the big guys, I always think
young
about.
Guys. How about Ray Ray?
Yeah, Ray Ray. And I think Ray Ray, because they need receivers, and, you know, having a guy like him get on campus early, Nathaniel Joseph will help.
Yeah.
Speaking of the big guys, I always think of Greg Rousseau's freshman year. I like, you know, I saw him in high school, and then I bumped into him on campus, like in a basketball game or something, like a couple months later. And he was a skinny wide receiver in high school, and just, the physical transformation. Obviously he got hurt very early in that freshman year, so we didn't get to see what the transformation meant for him, but it sure seemed like he was going to be a factor for that team as a freshman. And then obviously the next year he's kind of a borderline All-American candidate. So that's obviously a unique story. It's why he became a first round pick, basically, like that rapid development. Not everyone's going to be like that, but it's just a reminder of how much guys can be helped by getting those extra 5 months on campus, basically.
You know what? I don't even think anymore it's a matter of it helps to go early. I think it hurts
to not go early.
Later. I mean, now it's the norm. It hurts to go later.
Elsewhere in the state, we wanted to touch on this because there is a Miami connection. Speaking of early enrolling, Jaden Rashada, Florida quarterback, former Florida quarterback commit, former Miami commit. It's created a little bit of a stir up in Gainesville. I guess by the time this posts, we'll have an idea of whether actually going to wind up at Florida.
It was just reported. I mean,
I miss it
Thursday today, and it was just pretty much reported that he was at the Under Armour All American Bowl, right? And he was talking about, you know, Florida and whatever, the Gators, and the Gator fans were giving the UM fans grief, you know, making fun of whatever that in the long run, because he was UM's prize.
Yeah, he was honestly. He was. I think I said it last week. And like, he was kind of the recruit, weirdly, that kicked off the Mario recruiting run in the summer. He committed at the end of June, and then like Francis committed a few days later. Riley Williams committed. They got this whole run started, and then of course he winds up not even signing with Miami.
But now he's requested, according to reports. I know on3.com has it. They all have it. All the recruiting sites. He's requested for his national letter of intent. He wants to be released. He already signed with the University of Florida and asked to be released. That's pretty amazing. So, you know, and of course, what are all the rumors? NIL, right?
Yeah.
NIL that maybe somewhere else, maybe Florida didn't. Again, I have no clue, but rumors are that Florida did not offer him enough money or whatever. And I could tell you one thing that I'd be absolutely, there's no way Mario takes him back.
Yeah.
There's no,
we should say the ad drop date at Florida is Friday, so it has to be resolved by tomorrow if he's going to get into UF for the
semester. He might go to UF all of a sudden, maybe all
yeah,
of a sudden.
Might happen. But yeah. Either way, this is I mean, in a lot of ways, it was Jaden Rashada and Nico Iamaleva over the summer who were kind of like the two, like, is NIL out of control cases when there was reports. I think that Iamaleva is getting $8 million. From Tennessee, and Rashada, I don't remember what all the numbers thrown around were, but I mean, this is now the landmark NIL case, the Jaden Rashada situation, where it's like there are quote unquote rules, like the pay for play stuff, where you're not supposed to just be able to offer NIL money in order for someone to come to your school. And obviously this situation is like, if the reporting is accurate that this is all NIL related and they offered him some sort of money and now he's not getting that full money, and that's why he's not coming, that like laughs in the face of these NCAA rules that don't, again, don't, they're like true. Unenforceable, they're not, they don't exist. And a case like this, I think, was always going to happen this year, and it has to be, as I mentioned, I said earlier, like, and I think we're at a little bit of a turning point with the NCAA in terms of, like, they've got to rein back this nonstop recruiting, nonstop transfer portal chaos. They obviously did a little bit with the portal with the 45-day window, but their number one priority is they got to figure out, again, not like, yeah, I'm guys being able to be paid is like all like that. I think that's good, and I think everyone kind of at this point agrees it's good, but they need to like rein in and figure, like, they need to have rules. They basically don't have rules right now, and the rules they have are entirely unenforceable,
and they're also they're also different. There's no unified rules across,
right, exactly, the, yeah, so like they, no, that needs, yeah. I mean, the NCAA, as I said a bunch of times on the show, basically abdicated all responsibility for this, kind of betting that it was never going to happen, and then it happened and they're caught with their pants down, and now it's a mess, and this situation is obviously kind of the ultimate mess here, where, again, like, everyone is doing it, right? Everyone is doing pay for play basically under different names. Mm-hmm. But the fact that this is playing out so publicly like this, like, it makes the NCAA look like an absolute joke, where, like, they have these rules, everyone in the world knows, and they're basically openly saying, like, the reason he's not coming is because of things that are illegal, and there's nothing they can do about it.
And we don't really, yeah, that it's definitely NIL related. That's what everybody's saying. And I think his agent or attorney or somebody told On3, the recruiting site, when Rashada committed to Miami, he said that he went there because he loves Miami. It had, and that he did not pick the highest offer. Somebody said he did not pick the highest offer. I mean, yeah. Here's the thing. Okay. And then we'll be done with this topic. But here's the thing. I don't know. I agree. Kids should get what they can get. But I just, there's no loyalty. I mean, if I were a coach, I would be disgusted. It's like, it's impossible. They're trying to recruit guys. If it's all about the money, and I don't know. Again, we don't know how much money. We don't know if it's the money. We don't know what the heck happened, or if Florida comes up with more money. But just,
well, it's basically the other thing is basically all unregulated, right? It's not like in the NFL where you have a contract, you have a players' association that is negotiating the terms of the contract. There's like a standard agreement that comes with signing with a school. Like, you know, you're going to get this money, you know, X percent is guaranteed. Every one of these contracts is different. The Orlando Sentinel reported that Rashada was being, had an agreement for about $13 million. And like, of course it's $13 million, but how much of that was guaranteed? How much of that is contingent on him starting X numbers of games as a freshman? Yeah. How much? And that's all like not how the rule is supposed to work at all. But no one cares because everyone's doing it. But at the same time, then it creates a situation like this where, they're just kind of flaunting it. That's the other thing is the coaches aren't the ones, you know, they're all obviously aware of this. They're aware of their collectives or their boosters who are doing this, but it's not like there's a general manager, right? Like in every other sport in the world, other than college sports, basically, in every other paid sport across the world, I should say, and even some unpaid sports, there's general managers where they're saying, all right, this guy gets this much money. And when you give that much money, you know that it's going to create this sort of feeling in the locker room, resentment, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's the Wild West thing is a cliche, but it's the Wild West. What made the Wild West wild was that there was basically no laws and like inconsistent enforcement of those laws by like little sheriffs and little towns with guns and horses. And what makes this the Wild West is there's no rules. There's no rules.
And the kids don't care. To me, also, of course, I'm old school, but they don't care. You know, they're like 17 and 18, and they don't. Oh my God! At least they used to get excited about. Oh my God! I'm going to college. I'm gonna rep the Gators or the Hurricanes. I'm so psyched. I love the uniforms. It's so exciting. I'm going to start my college life and rah, rah, rah. Forget it. I mean, it's not, at least in the pros, they have families or whatever. They need the money, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I think this will be a case that the NCAA, when they go into their meetings this summer, is like, how do we make sure this doesn't happen again? Stuff like this is always going to happen because it happened before NIL too. But the fact that like this is so, you know, the one rule in there is there's not supposed to be pay for play. And the whole reason this is falling apart is because Jaden Rashada had a pay for play deal with Florida that everyone kind of knows the pay for play deal. And it fell through. And, you know, upping an agreement to get a guy to sign with you is the literal definition of pay-per-play.
Or maybe it didn't fall through. That's a rumor. But what I'm saying is maybe like something else came up better.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's all, that would all be pay-per-play though. It would all be like, okay, this guy's offering X money, so I'm going to go there. It's literally the one rule the NCAA has set up, but there's no way for them to enforce it. And again, you can say maybe, sure, that's fine if it's a bidding war for every recruit. But you can't have the one rule and just not enforce it, basically. And they have no way to enforce it right now.
And the NCAA, they don't have enough people. They don't have, you know, it's.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they should just let it go. Say, hey, every recruitment can be a bidding war and just let it be open.
No.
It may be easier. We wouldn't have to pretend like Jaden Rashada picked Miami because he loved Miami and then picked Florida because he wanted to play in the SEC. We could just be open. Yeah. They offered me more money than everyone else. I think it'd be easier for everyone. All right, let's close out a couple other quick topics before we get going here. Number one, Miami's got Bethune-Cookman on the schedule again, which normally is not news, but now it's news because Ed Reed is going to be coaching Bethune-Cookman next year, and will
make
one of his first games as Bethune-Cookman's coach in Miami Gardens.
Yes. Yeah, and it's news. It was because it's there. It's because I'm looking for
it. Completes the schedule, right?
It completes the schedule, yeah. And UM was only UM was one of the only teams in the country that hadn't completed their schedule. One of the only FBS. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool.
And it'll be Ed Reed's probably third game as Bethune-Cookman's coach. It's in week three, so.
Yes. Yeah. What's interesting is I'm looking for the story I wrote. It's the 14th. It's September 14th.
Yeah, which is a Thursday.
And UM starts September 2nd
against Miami, the Miami game.
Against Miami. Miami of Ohio. That's right. That's UM's first game. And then UM's
winner is the real Miami.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And then the ninth is
Texas A&M comes to
A&M
Hard Rock.
At home at Hard Rock. And the thing is, that 14th, the Thursday night, is only 5 days later.
Yeah.
So after Texas A&M, I mean, they will be home. Yeah. And then, you know, and then
yeah,
they,
it'll
then
be
their
cool to have
last.
Ed Reed back, obviously. Like, I'm sure he'll get a nice ovation and all that kind of stuff. And Miami tends to play Bethune-Cookman a lot. So, I mean, assuming Ed Reed sticks around there for a while, might not be the last time we see him at Hard Rock Stadium.
Right. And right. It's kind of cool. I think it's kind of fun. To get that Ed Reed game in. And also after that, Miami's last non-conference game is September 23rd. And it's at Temple in Philly. We're going back.
Yeah,
to
it's supposed to be the Miami Manny Diaz.
The Big East. We're going back to the Big East days. So
yeah
Manny. Oh, that's right. Manny Diaz. Yeah. Who was,
I thought it was maybe going to be Manny Diaz going up against his former team.
Coach there for breakfast or whatever. Anyway. So that's kind of cool. And you know, the 5 days is not great, but hopefully nobody gets hurt.
Yeah.
But at least they have, at least between the 14th and 23rd, they have an extra, right? They have an extra 2 days because they're traveling. And then we'll see. We know the other teams are playing, including Boston College.
Yeah.
But we will find out dates. And probably not many times, maybe one or two. If yes, sometimes ESPN announces like one or two games.
Well, yeah, you get a Friday game or something, then you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. We'll find that out, David, on January 30th. So
not too far away.
They're going to announce that. Yeah. So that's cool news. And Okay.
Last thing I wanted to get to, two new Miami College Football Hall of Famers, Brian McKinney and Mark Richt. You know, not a lot to say there other than good for those guys. Those are obviously Brian McKinney is one of the best linemen to ever come through Miami. Still pretty big, like, figure around the program, right? He comes back for Paradise Camp all the time. And a Lackawanna Community College grad like Colby Young. Cool to see him get in. And then obviously Mark Richt, who only played for Miami, obviously. Most of his success came as a coach at Georgia, but obviously ended his career with a couple
years
of seasons at Miami. And I mean, I think it's everyone has said this, but one of the all-time good guys in college football.
Yeah. And a great, I mean, and a,
and
I
obviously
think
a very
great
good
coach
too. Yeah.
Yeah. He deserving. Well deserved. He's still working, I think, at the ACC network. He is.
It was at least as of last year, he was.
Yeah. And I'm happy for both of them. At UM keeps getting College Football Hall of Famers, and you know, eventually they'll dry up, but
I will say it also felt like because of Mike Leach dying and him being ineligible for the Hall of Fame because of the same rule that has kept Howard Schnellenberger out forever, what, the 60% win total,
crazy,
win
right?
I think there's momentum because now Mike Leach is also there, and obviously him dying, everyone's like, oh, he should be in the Hall of Fame, he revolutionized the sport.
Yeah.
It feels like there's some momentum to maybe get rid of that rule, which obviously I think people would kind of think of it as the Mike Leach rule because it's, you know, he's the more recent one. Like, if that rule gets changed, it's going to be largely to get him in. But if they change that rule, Howard Schnellenberger will also certainly get in.
For sure. And again, deserving.
Yeah. All right. I think we can close things out there unless you got anything else before we get going. I think we're all good though.
Yeah. We're all good.
You had a good college football season.
Hopefully
it'll be a little bit better for Miami next year, but a fun college football season as a whole. Portal closes up, next week? So things could quiet down a little bit on the news front, but then obviously National Signing Day is less than 3 weeks away as we're talking right now, February 1st, which will be a much quieter day for Miami than the December date was, but there'll still be a handful of whether it's transfers or high school recruits coming in as late additions.
And then we'll have Well,
spring isn't too far away. Yeah. Spring's
we'll
not too far away.
Month and something till spring.
Yeah. All right. So you can follow Susan on Twitter at @smillerdegnan. You can follow me on Twitter at @dbwilson2. Maybe we'll take a little bit of a break here on this show. Unless obviously we'll see if another transfer pops
up. That's
what
we say every week.
But I think the fact the portal's closing maybe means it could be quiet, although there's some visitors going, some transfers visiting this weekend. So we'll see if there's any big news that pops off. And then maybe we'll do some basketball with Michelle Kaufman a little bit.
Yeah,
a little
basketball. Bit
here, that team is awesome and by far the most fun team in South Florida right now. So yeah, well, we'll come back at some point before the end of the month, definitely before signing day. So yeah, thanks as always for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week or later on sometime. Talk to you later this month.